eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own? Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Do you know a high schooler who is a natural leader and loves to give back to their community? The Leukemia and Lymphoma Society's Student Visionaries of the Year program might be the perfect opportunity. Forming strong teams to support them, Student Visionaries of the Year candidates fundraise for the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society in honor of a pediatric blood cancer survivor in their local community. This 7-week philanthropic leadership development program helps students gain valuable life skills like project management, communication, financial literacy, and entrepreneurship. Not to mention, it looks great on college applications. But most importantly, it's a chance for students to engage in meaningful work within their community and make a real impact on the lives of blood cancer patients and their families. Learn more about Student Visionaries of the Year or nominate a student at lls.org/students. That's lls.org/students. Welcome to the Jill on Money Show. It is Monday, May 29th. It is Memorial Day. And in honor of the Memorial Day weekend, we are re-airing an interview that we conducted with Admiral William McRaven. And we're splitting it up into 3 days. If you've missed any of the other two interviews, just go back and listen to them and start with today's. This is the way that Mark and I like to commemorate Memorial Day weekend with someone who has committed his life to the country. So here is the third part of our interview with Admiral William McRaven. Who inspired you in your career?
Oh, a lot of people inspire me in my career. But I will tell you, invariably, probably not who people think. The kids that inspired me were the young soldiers, sailors, airmen, and Marines I met, the ones that had families with kids. And you'd watch these young soldiers go overseas and come back, and then 8 months later they're back overseas again, and they do it year after year after year, and the wife stays at home and takes care of the kids, or the husband stays at home in some cases and takes care of the kids as the wife is forward. These are the men and women that I think are truly inspiring, and they don't, nobody writes books about them. Mm-hmm. They're not going to have any monuments built to them, but they are, the American soldier. And so, they're what's really inspiring.
What don't we civilians really understand about the military life? What are some of the things we just don't get and we could never get?
Well, I don't know that you could never get it, but, the military life is a life of sacrifice. You don't go into the military. A lot of people say, well, why'd you go into the military? And people will say, well, to serve my country. And certainly people want to serve their country. But most young men and women that go into the military, I think initially there's this kind of sense of a challenge. I want to make it through basic training, or I want to make it through SEAL training or Ranger training. And then there's a little sense of adventure. You go from a challenge to an adventure, and now, you're in the SEALs, and in my case, you're traveling around the world, you're jumping out of airplanes, you're locking out of submarines, you have this adventure, and then at some point in time in your career, it kind of becomes a profession. But then after that, it becomes a calling. And that's really kind of when you hit your peak. For me, the calling really came after 9/11. What I saw with the young men and women that came in right after 9/11 was, you know, they jumped, you know, my 26 years, and within a short period of time, they had gone from the challenge, the adventure, the profession to a calling. And that calling required sacrifice. And so it's just hard to appreciate the sacrifice of these young soldiers day in and day out, going on combat missions, year after year deploying, every couple of years moving their family from one geographic location to the next. And now their kids have got to make new friends in school. These are the sacrifices. But I will tell you, almost any soldier you talk to will tell you that they are happy to sacrifice that, they love the job they're doing. They're proud to serve this nation. And so we're happy to bear that burden and bear that sacrifice.
You talk about rising to the occasion, and I feel like, you're in this dangerous place and you're trained in a certain way. You are going to rise to the occasion. But how do civilians rise to the occasion in your lives? How do you see that playing out?
Yeah, sometimes I think it's just something deep, deep inside that comes up when a dark moment occurs. I don't know that you can plan for it. I don't know that you can prepare for it. I don't know that even the soldiers I've met fully prepare for it. When you lose a loved one, I don't care whether you lose them on the battlefield or you lose them in a car accident or they die of cancer. You find out really who you are in those dark moments. And I think we all have it inside us. And the point of the book is, you don't have to be a superhero to rise to the occasion. But dig deep. It's in there. And the people around you are going to need you to rise to that occasion when bad things happen. This is more of a hope that people that read the book will realize that they have it within themselves to be this person when difficult things happen.
In your career, as you look back, were you able to identify people who you said, that guy, that woman, that's a leader?
Absolutely.
Easily?
Pretty easily. Yeah.
And what are some of those attributes that would make you poised to be a leader?
Yeah, they are generally people persons. They understand how to build a team, as we talked about. They recognize that it's not about them. They are kind of a servant leader. I think the great leaders are servant leaders. I love this saying from Pope Francis that, a shepherd should smell like his sheep. And I think, we have learned that in the military, that great leaders are the ones that are out with the troops. And I don't care whether you're a non-commissioned officer, to be a great leader, you've got to be out. You've got to suffer the hardships. You have to lead from the front, as we say. Sometimes leading from the front is literally jumping out of the airplane first. Sometimes leading from the front is being the last in the chow line to get chow. But leading from the front means setting the example and doing the difficult things. You don't have to be the best at everything. In fact, great leaders are rarely the best at everything. But they've got to respect the people that work for them. They've got to be able to build the team around them. And you can see that pretty quickly. There are some folks that are a little too full of themselves, that think they always have the right plan, that they're the smartest man or woman in the room. Those people you have to be a little bit careful of. Now, every once in a while, they turn out to be great leaders as well. But I tell you, more times than not, it's that man or woman who knows how to build a team, who is the servant leader, who respects the people that work for them, and who sets the example and does things that are moral, legal, and ethical.
When you look at, say, corporate America now, and you maybe read stories in the papers about this CEO does this or right, this malfeasance of that, I can only imagine that somebody like you, a true leader who's selfless in many ways, that really must pain you in some ways to read stories or hear things like that.
Well, we're not perfect in the military, but I think as an organization, we work hard to instill the right values in people. And I think most of the men and women I've worked with in the military adhere to those values. But, again, I have one litmus test for every decision we make. And as I said, you have to do things that are moral, legal, and ethical. And if your decision, passes that litmus test, then it's probably a good decision. And most leaders know when things aren't moral, legal, or ethical. It's not always easy to be good, though. The circumstances that swirl around you sometimes, nobody's perfect. And again, we're going to make mistakes. And sometimes as hard as you try to be moral, legal, and ethical, it doesn't work out. And we talk about your integrity being the most important thing, but frankly, you're the only one that can lose your integrity. And it happens sometimes. Again, that's a time when you just have to say, look, I made a mistake. I'm going to figure out how to do better next time and move on.
Now that you are out of the military and like in academia, which is a whole nother universe.
I love it.
How has the transition been?
Transition's been great. You know, I'm used to running a large organization. So in my role as the chancellor of the University of Texas system, I'm the CEO over these 14 institutions. And we were talking before the beginning of the broadcast about UT Austin. But of course, that is our flagship, but it is hardly the only institution. We have 8 academic institutions and then 6 health-related institutions. And we've got 6 medical schools. But I got to tell you, the best thing about the job is looking at these, you know, first in family to go to college. We have a large Hispanic population in Texas and down at UT Rio Grande Valley and University of Texas El Paso and UT San Antonio. You see these kids that are the first in their family ever to go to school. And you realize they have just changed the entire trajectory of their family forever. Because, you know, what statistics show is if you go to college, chances are very high your kids are going to go to college and their kids are going to go to college. And everything about going to college, you know, frankly, makes you a better person. I mean, statistically speaking, you know, not only do you make more money, but you're less likely to be racist and bigoted and you're going to be healthier. I mean, everything about spending time on a college campus is actually good for human beings.
Well, that's it. We're back to our normal format coming tomorrow. Yes, we'll keep answering your financial questions. So do try to think of people who are serving our nation. Remember, Memorial Day is a day of remembrance for those who have died in service to our country. So this is a day that you should probably take a little break from your barbecue and think about that. Hope that you have enjoyed this 3-parter. We have enjoyed delivering it to you. We look forward to talking to you tomorrow. Change your work, change your wealth, change your life.